paid program sponsored by Eastside Church of Christ.
Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace. Teach me to know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Really good to have you listening along on this beautiful Sunday morning. God's blessed us with some wonderful weather the last couple of days. We're so thankful to Him for every blessing. Everything that we have that's good in our lives comes from Him. Our life, our breath, our friends, our loved ones, jobs, everything that we have, our health. So we need to be thanking Him and praising Him and getting to know Him, honoring Him in our lives. We invite you to do that with us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ in Athens. We meet at 110 French Way. That's in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31. We'd love for you to be with us. We're just going to have one meeting today. We're still not meeting as many times as we'd like due to the coronavirus, but we're meeting at 10 o'clock this morning. We'd love for you to be with us if you can be. If you can't be with us, you can watch online. We're eastside-church.org and click on the live streaming, or you can go to our Facebook page and watch the service online. We'd love for you to be able to do that. And this morning we'll be talking in our lesson at Eastside at 10 o'clock. We'll be talking about God's love and holiness and how we need to be imitating that in our lives. It's a wonderful concept of thinking about being created in God's image and then trying to replicate for Him in this world what He wants us to be and show others who He is. So that's what we'll be doing at 10 o'clock this morning. We invite you to be with us, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama at 10 o'clock or join us online. And this morning, I want to think with you about something that we commonly hear and deal with in the religious world today among those who claim to be Christians, and it's the idea of being led by the Spirit. There are a lot of religious people that tell me that they're led by the Spirit. There are a lot of all kinds of different kinds of religious people that tell me that they're led by the Spirit. If we're going to walk the way that leads to life, and that is, after all, the name of this program, The Way That Leads to Life, if we're going to walk that, we want someone to lead us who knows the way. Jesus, we've said, is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is certainly accurate, but the Bible also says that we are led by the Spirit. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you, starting in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the way that leads to life, the way that leads to no condemnation, is definitely a way in which people walk according to the Spirit. They don't walk according to their flesh, their own desires. They walk according to the Spirit. You go on down in Romans 8 and verse 5, and it says that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that's a really interesting passage because it says to us that walking this way that leads to life is a mindset. We set our minds on the things of the Spirit, or we might say on spiritual things. We don't focus on fleshly things, the things of this world. So many people get just caught up in pursuing a career, getting money, you know, their own personal happiness, the pleasures of the flesh, so on and so forth. But that's not the mindset of someone who's walking the way that leads to life. The way that leads to life is a way that is walked, being led by the Spirit with your mind set on the Spirit. And then on down again in this same context in Romans 8, in verse 14, the inspired Apostle Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So definitely we want to be led by the Spirit of God. If we're going to be children of God, if we're going to wind up not being condemned and walking that way that leads to life, there's no doubt about that from a scriptural standpoint. But the question is really, how does the Spirit lead the Christian? Is it by some, you know, feeling, some impression, a vision, a dream, some inner voice? Well, I know religious people who would say one or all of those things. But, of course, our focus this morning and on this program is not what people say, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about being led by the Spirit? How does it explain that? I think that's important for us to know if we're going to walk the way that leads to life. Well, in the Bible, we can, I think, see this morning pretty plainly that the Spirit guides us through His inspired Word. It's been the work of the Holy Spirit to give us the Bible, to give us the Word of God. He was the one who inspired men to write the Bible. The words of the Bible came directly from Him. And so when we know what's in His Word and we follow that and it's in our hearts leading us, then that is the leading of the Spirit, so to speak. And we'll demonstrate that. I don't want you just to accept my word for that, so to speak, but we'll demonstrate that by looking at the Word of God this morning. In John 16 and verse 13, Jesus promised His apostles, and we'll look at this a little bit more in detail in a few minutes, but He said in verse 13, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." So here's a promise that the Savior made, that the Lord made to His apostles. This was on the night that He was betrayed. And He tells them that the Spirit will guide them into all truth. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is not going to guide people in a bunch of different ways. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 says that God is not the author of confusion. If we look at the religious world today, what do we see? Oh, we see a lot of confusion, don't we? I mean, people don't, you ask 100 different, you know, denominational preachers what to do to be saved, and you're liable to get 100 different answers. You look at what churches are doing in worship, and there's all kinds of different things going on, some contradictory to one another. Some people insist on doing one thing, some insist on doing another. It's just all over the place. So people are confused when they look at the religious world today, but God is not the author of confusion. And the Spirit surely isn't leading us into all of this confusion, into all of this, you know, can't agree on anything essential when it comes to the worship of God, the salvation that He's offered us and how to obtain it. So many different things that people don't agree on, even though they're saying that they're led by the Holy Spirit. That's interesting, isn't it? They must not be being led by the Holy Spirit. What does it take to be led by the Spirit? We must understand something about who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of deity or divinity. He's a person of the Godhead. The Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see those three persons of the Godhead all in action at once on several different occasions, really. But in the baptism of Jesus, you see Jesus, the Son of God, being baptized. You see the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, lighting upon Him. And you see or hear God the Father speaking from heaven, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So you have these three persons in the Godhead, and all throughout Scripture, they're active. They are all doing their roles, so to speak, as divinity, as God. So the Holy Spirit is an important being, one of the three who make up the Godhead. It's interesting, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, at the creation of man, Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image." Well, we're made in the image of God, the Bible says. And that comes from this passage, but you notice the plurals there. Let us make man in our image. So there's more than one individual who makes up what it is to be God. And the three of those are, again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, what we need to talk about in most of the remainder of our time this morning is this relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And as I asserted a little while ago, it is the Holy Spirit who has given us the Word of God. He is the one who has revealed God's will and inspired men to write the words that we have in our Bibles. The Old Testament Scriptures, for instance, were the work of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter, in talking about that, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, said that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there's not any prophecy of Scripture in the Old Testament that was the work of man. A lot of people look at the Bible and they say, oh, that's just the writings of man. Well, that's not what the Bible claims to be. It claims to be the work of the Holy Spirit. Men moved to say that were moved to write the things they wrote and say the things they said by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are a few passages I want to share with you this morning, and you have to pay a little closer attention to this, but I think if you do, it'll profit you. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some passages in the New Testament that quote Old Testament passages. And I want you to see who those Old Testament passages are attributed to by New Testament writers. That is to say, when a New Testament writer quotes the Old Testament, on several different occasions, he'll quote the Old Testament as having been said by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example of that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer, talking about the covenant that we are now under, as opposed to the old covenant that the Jews used to be under, that new covenant that we're under now was prophesied of in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, the writer of the book of Hebrews, writing by inspiration, quotes from Jeremiah 31, way back in the Old Testament. And here's what he says: "The Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.'" Well, who's the one that's doing the talking there? Who's the one who's testifying this, who's saying this? Well, the Hebrew writer says that that passage back in Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34 that he quotes here was the Holy Spirit saying that. He said the Holy Spirit witnesses to this. And so that Old Testament passage is quoted out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit. Another passage in the book of Hebrews along the same line, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, the writer is going to quote from Psalm 95, way back in the Old Testament. And he says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, 'Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness.'" Well, that passage in Psalm 95 is talking about the time when the Israelites rebelled against God in the wilderness. And it's basically encouraging people not to rebel against God as was done there. But my point is that Psalm 95 is quoted as the words of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 3:7 says the Holy Spirit said that. The Holy Spirit said that. Well, how did the Holy Spirit say it? A psalmist wrote it in the passage we just looked at previously. Jeremiah wrote that. But it is the Spirit who's saying it, because the Spirit is speaking by inspiration through those individuals. You see the point? So when we come to Acts chapter 28, we find the Apostle Paul having traveled to Rome and being imprisoned in house, sort of a house incarceration there. But he was talking to some Jews, and they didn't agree among themselves. They were about to leave after Paul had talked to them for some time. But then Paul says one thing in Acts chapter 28 and verse 25. He says, "The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.'" Notice what the Apostle Paul did there. He said the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah the prophet, and then he quotes Isaiah. But those words of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah 6 verses 9 and 10, that's where he's quoting from. Those words of Isaiah are the words of the Holy Spirit. And so you see the point. Over and over and over again, the words that are written in Scripture are not attributed just to the man who wrote them. They're attributed to the Holy Spirit on several occasions. And so we see exactly what Peter said is true, that no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the will of men. Men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't just mean they were, you know, they got the feeling or something and they wrote, but those words, the very words that those prophets wrote and spoke, were the words that were given them by the Holy Spirit. That's such an important lesson for us to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter writes that the prophets of the Old Testament were often searching what or what manner of time that the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So the Old Testament prophets often prophesied about the sufferings of the coming Messiah. I mean, you can read, for instance, in the book of Isaiah, which was written 700 years before Christ was born, and yet it describes in some great detail the sufferings that Christ would go through. Same with Psalm 22. The Psalm 22 is a psalm of David. You read through it, and many of the things described in that psalm happened when Jesus was being crucified on the cross. But the Apostle Peter says that it's the Spirit that was in these prophets that was telling them these things. So the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for those words in the Old Testament, and for that matter, the entire Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit is responsible for the New Testament as well, and that's important for us today, those of us who are Christians and living under the New Covenant or the New Testament of Jesus Christ. So we're going to go back now, where we started a little while ago, to John chapter 16. And I need to set the stage for you here. Many of you may be familiar with what's going on in John 16, but I think many are not. In John 16, you can really go back to John 13, and this all is covering the night that Jesus was betrayed. Many of you have probably heard this story from John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet. And then he has this very long discussion with his apostles. He's getting them ready because he's going to be about 24 hours, from when he's doing this. He'll be dead. He'll be crucified. He's going to be crucified the next day. So he's getting his apostles ready for that. He's telling them and giving them their last instructions and all of that. So John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all of those chapters in the Gospel of John are Jesus with his apostles the night before he's betrayed and crucified. So we come to John 16, and I'm just going to read a few verses to you here. We're going to pick up in verse 1, John 16 and verse 1. Jesus says to his apostles, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." So he's concerned that they won't stumble, that they'll understand what's going on. He says to them, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, and the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." So obviously he's directing these words right at his apostles. He's telling them why he's telling them the things he's telling them. He's telling them what's going to happen to them in the near future. They're going to be put out of synagogues. Now, I suppose most people listening to this broadcast have never been in a synagogue, but these apostles of Christ, who were all of them Jews, had spent their lives going to synagogues, and preaching and teaching in synagogues is something that they would all be doing in the near future. But many of the Jews would not accept their teaching, so they'd be put out of those synagogues. So I want you to understand who Jesus is talking to here and what he's telling them about things that are going to happen in the not-too-distant future. So we go on in John 16, and we look at verse 7. And here, Jesus, still talking to these apostles, says to them, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, earlier Jesus had identified this Helper that he's talking about as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Later on in verse 13, now here's what he says. He says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare to you." Well, who's the you there? Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to his apostles, and he's telling them that the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. Not come to every other person on the world, or, you know, people who think that they're hearing these things in the middle of the night, or God is speaking to them directly, or they got this still small voice. That's not in the Bible. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is that the Holy Spirit is sent to guide the apostles into all truth. And nothing could be clearer. Just read the context. See who Jesus is talking to. So many people read this passage, and they think this is applying to them personally. This is applying to the apostles to whom Jesus is speaking. They would be guided into all truth. Back in chapter 14, still in this same context, really, in verse 26, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." That's not to you and me. We didn't walk with Jesus. We can't remember things he said to us when we walked on, when he walked with us on earth, because that didn't happen. He walked with the apostles on earth. The things that they were able to remember, they were able to remember by the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore their memory of those things is perfect. The things that they experience with Jesus Christ. And for people to come along today and say, yeah, the Holy Spirit is talking to me because you have these promises in John 14 and John 16, they don't understand what John 14 and John 16 are talking about. John 14 and John 16 are talking to the apostles, and the promise is given to them that the Holy Spirit would reveal God's word, God's ways to them. And then they, in turn, would tell it to the rest of the world. That's the exact description that you have given to this process in Scripture. Came from Jesus through the Holy Spirit to his apostles, who then told the world about it. And we have the writings of his apostles and prophets in our New Testament. Here's the word of God directing us by the Holy Spirit. So listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. He says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So Paul, as an apostle, is not speaking things that he's making up. He's speaking things to the Corinthians, and in his writings to us, he's speaking things that the Holy Spirit has taught him. So when we read what Paul wrote, or another apostle wrote, or a prophet of Christ wrote in the New Testament, when we read what they wrote, we are receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul himself in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, talking about the things that he's written. He says, "By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Can we understand language? Do we understand words here? It's the Spirit who's revealed the word of God by his holy apostles and prophets. And we get it not directly from the Spirit, but when we read what the holy apostles and prophets have written. That's folks, that's what Bible study is all about. That's what this program is all about. That's why we're trying to get you to listen to gospel sermons and to sign up for a Bible correspondence course and all of those things we're encouraging you to do. If you want to be led by the Spirit, it's in the word of God. The Spirit is speaking to you directly in the words that the apostles and prophets wrote in your New Testament. You want to be led by the Spirit? Study what's in your New Testament. Do what's in your New Testament. Allow it into your heart. Write those things in your heart and be led by that. That's the leading of the Spirit for us today. And people running around saying the Spirit told me to do this and the Spirit told me to do that and the Spirit's speaking to me directly or he gave me this dream or whatever, and they're all doing opposite things and there's so much confusion, and it's all because they're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is really saying to us in the pages of the New Testament, the pages that he inspired apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ to write. When we read it, we can understand it. That's what the Apostle Paul plainly said. The words of Christ themselves are Spirit. John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life." You want to be led by the Spirit? follow the words of Jesus, the words that he spoke on earth, the words that he left for his apostles to tell us about. You want to be led by the Spirit? Follow the words of Jesus. The Word of God is the instrument of the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. So I hope you're understanding this. I hope that maybe some of you are having a light bulb go on in your head this morning. You're beginning to see that it's the Scriptures that we need to go to, the New Testament that we need to look at if we want to know what the Spirit is guiding us to do and leading us to do so that we can walk the way that leads to life. I want to, before we close, I want to suggest just a couple of things that we will be characteristic, I should say, of our lives if we're led by the Spirit. One of the things that will be characteristic of our lives if we're led by the Spirit is that we will have been born again. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter says, "Since you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides." So think about what he's saying there. We've obeyed the truth through the Spirit by being born again through the word of God. And what we've been saying is the Holy Spirit has given us the word of God. When we follow what it says, do what it says, we can be born of the Spirit. In John chapter 3, Jesus has that famous discussion with Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus that he's got to be born again. He tells him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 5, he tells him, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So a person who's born of the Spirit is a person who follows those instructions, being born of water and Spirit. A person who's born again is a person whose life is directed by what's inside of him, and what's inside of him is gotten there by the Word of God. He's taken the Word of God into himself. Jesus goes on in this context and says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." People who are born of the Spirit have inside them the Word of God. You can't see that. You know, that's inside them. And so it's like the wind. The wind's something you can't see. You know it moves around. It goes here and there. But you don't understand how that happens. And so it is, if you're looking from the outside at someone who's born of the Spirit, he's got God's Word in him that's directing his life. It's not obvious to people who are just looking at him what's you know, directing him, but it's the Word of God. It's the Spirit that's directing him. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be born again. You're going to be directed by the Spirit in that you'll have his Word in your heart, and you're going to bear fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Did you hear that? See, that's what living in the Spirit is all about. And walking in the Spirit is walking according to those concepts that the Word of God has taught us. Concepts of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These things are the things the Word of God teaches us. And if we're led by the Spirit, that's how we'll be walking. That's plainly what the Bible says. Let's walk by the Spirit. Let's walk the way that leads to life, directed so clearly by the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him by turning away from his word that you can find in Scripture. Don't grieve him by ignoring the Word of God. We encourage you to study your Bible. Sign up for that correspondence course that we offer at eastside-church.org. We thank you for tuning in today. We trust that you'll have a safe and good week. We trust that you'll begin to look into God's Word, so that you too might be led by the Spirit.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.